right, finally, a Miami sports pod that has nothing to do with tanking. It has nothing to do with losing. It has everything to do with some excitement in this town. And that's because the Miami Heat are back to work with Media Day Monday, training camp Tuesday. It is a big week for the Heat. It was a big weekend for the Heat. Will Manso, Clay Furrow, Dookie Lang. And I'll start with the weekend first before we move into training camp. I don't want to necessarily make this a season preview because we'll do that later, obviously, as training camp and then the exhibition games move forward. But I want to make this into a kind of the excitement going into training camp. Clay, you were there on Friday. You had a chance to speak one-on-one with Jimmy Butler to gauge his thoughts on being a member of the Heat and the culture. And my observation from not being there and from just watching the news conference, reading the reaction, the quotes, is that this town is craving for excitement, and Jimmy Butler said all the right things.
I thought going into it that he was a perfect fit. I walked out thinking whatever the word that's stronger than perfect is, that he's that kind of fit. And I think very rarely do these news conferences exceed expectations, and I'm not talking about the Big Three news conference a few years ago, because I don't even know if you want to call that a news conference. But when you got somebody standing up there saying, "I'm not a jerk," but not using the word jerk, and no problem cursing up there on the stand, and also says, "I want people to hate us." Like, if you're a Heat fan, like, I mean, what more do you want to hear? And yep. It was, look, I think we know, we can debate, is Jimmy Butler a top 10 player? As Pat Riley said, is he a top 20 player? 21 is ESPN. The one thing that I think is undeniable is that he's going to make that team better, and significantly better, in the fact that there is no question what the identity of this team is anymore. We talked about Heat culture for years. I felt like the last couple of years it got away from that just a little bit. The guys still worked hard, but something was missing. It's back, and if there is a way to accelerate Heat culture, Jimmy Butler's going to do it.
Well, I think he's a top 10 player as far as the fit of Heat culture. I think I think if you look around the league, the guys that would not only buy in, but the Heat would buy into as well, the vice versa feel to it. I think they both are a perfect match, and I think the one word that comes to mind for me that the Heat maybe have been lacking a bit internally, and this isn't from Eric Spoelstra's point of view, but from a player point of view, is accountability.
You beat me to
too
it.
Too often you had guys kind of, this role, I've been injured, and coaches aren't giving me minutes. There was too much of that stuff going on, and that's not the way the Heat do things. And I think Jimmy is the kind of guy that will be a checks and balances type guy. Now, I thought, Dookie, what I loved about him too is that, I mean, he's going to be that way with his teammates. It's one thing to come out and be cool with the media and, you know, like you said, joke around and curse, and he was really being open and fun. He clearly is going to be that with his teammates, and I think his teammates, especially the young ones on this team, and look, he'd have a nice young core of players, are going to embrace that. You see it already with guys behind the scenes. You see Deion Waiters working up early in the morning working out with him. I really think that these guys from within are going to embrace what Jimmy is all about.
Yeah, I think accountability is a good word.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Let's take it back a few years, because I think collectively, I think the Heat franchise was shook when LeBron James left. Okay, let's take it that far back. Mm-hmm. So LeBron left, and I think you could talk about excuses, you could talk about reasons, however you want to describe it. Mm-hmm. The reality is, the best player of this generation left.
Yep.
That's going to cause a fall. Then, again, another fact, Chris Bosh, who they were going to build around, who was going to be the centerpiece, and man, if you look at the NBA game today, how well would Chris Bosh fit in with it? Then Chris Bosh gets sick. Again, a circumstance beyond the Heat's control. Not an excuse, a reality that they had to deal with. So from that reality, dealing from losing those two Hall of Fame generational type players, the Heat cobble together a roster with some hits and some misses, with some good contracts and some bad contracts. I think it's very clear, like Hassan Whiteside, they needed him, they wanted him, was not a good fit for Heat culture. He worked his way up to getting into the NBA. He had a long journey to get there, but once he got that contract, he didn't have the consistent commitment that I think Jimmy Butler is going to command. I think some of the other guys who are still here, Deion Waiters, we mentioned, maybe hasn't been as fully committed as he wanted to, dealing with an injury. James Johnson, you have to question, hasn't been what he was before he got paid. Jimmy Butler is going to hold everybody to account. And to me, what's amazing, Clay, you talked about how exciting it was, Will, how he kind of won the news conference. That's one of his biggest jobs, right? Because he's replacing, in essence, Dwayne Wade. He is, unfortunately or fortunately, fairly or unfairly, stepping into the shoes of the most popular player in the franchise's history. So you would think there was a drop-off when LeBron left, there was a drop-off when Bosch left, and now there's naturally going to be some drop-off and some sadness about losing Dwayne Wade. But to have a guy come back who pays so much respect to Dwayne Wade and who epitomizes the values that Dwayne Wade helped lay down over the course of 15, 16 seasons, I think it's encouraging because this is a team that it feels like, okay, they're going to be the Miami Heat. They're going to be the Miami Heat without Dwayne Wade. They're going to be the Miami Heat without Chris Bosh and LeBron James. But the seeds that were planted will have a torchbearer. And that's kind of exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. You know what else is exciting? Our sponsor today, Vera Motors. When you spend your hard-earned money in a car, go to a place with a reputation, and I promise you there's no business in the state of Florida with a better reputation than Vera Motors. Vera Cadillac Buick GMC Pembroke Pines. The Vera family has been serving South Florida for 60 years. For the best deal in South Florida, the best service, Vera Cadillac Buick GMC. Vera Cadillac Buick GMC, 300 South University Drive, 3 miles north of the stadium, Pembroke Pines. I don't want to make this whole pod all about Jimmy Butler, so let's move on to training camp. And certainly Jimmy will be part of this discussion. But the things we look toward training camp, the focus, all the Jimmy stuff out of the way now, you know, he's here. We know what he means. He obviously can't do it alone. David, you mentioned a couple of guys in Deion Waiters and James Johnson, veteran guys that are trying to get back to a status they had a couple of years ago. Deion in particular, who has really gotten into much better shape, and the kind of player he is very important for the Heat. Goran Dragic, how the point guard situation rolls out with Justice, and then the guy we've all talked about all offseason long, and that's Bam Adebayo. And, you know, with Hassan gone now, Bam is clearly the guy. What's the next step for him? So when you look at some of those storylines, Clay, I'll let you go first. What are you looking toward in training camp as far as the development of this team and some of the things Eric Spoelstra has kind of as his disposal to work with?
Now I'm going
to
go a different direction. It's Tyler Hero. And I was, during Summer League, I was one of those that was like, okay, let's kind of pump the brakes a little bit. We've seen guys go out there and play really, really well in Summer League. And didn't Michael Beasley average like 30 points a game in Summer League? It was something crazy. And then when they start playing guys who are actual NBA players, it doesn't work out so well. But I've kind of come around a little bit because of a combination of a few things. Number one, and I've heard this, I think I'll give Ethan Skolnick credit for this. He mentioned this, that it's interesting to see how other players in the league have reacted to Tyler Hero and players who have been around him, that there's something that you don't see players react a certain way to other guys unless they see something.
Drip, I think he calls it.
Well, but I think it's even more than that.
He dresses with style.
Game. It's game. And what I found interesting with the Jimmy Butler news conference again was, you know, he was asked just an open-ended question about, you know, hey, is there anything that surprised you about these? And the first guy he points to is Tyler Hero. Now, part of that is because he and Tyler Hero have spent a lot of time together, and I'm sure he's gotten to see a bit about his game, and also he appreciates the attitude. That was another curse word that Butler used, talking about Tyler Hero. But what I'm finding interesting about this is he's not just a guy who can shoot. He's a guy who's coming in, and he's willing to put in all the work. Like, he wants to show up at 4:30 in the morning with Jimmy Butler. So I think he doesn't only have the talent, he seems to have the work ethic and that certain it that other players are gravitating towards. So I'm not saying he's even going to start, but I think is that sixth, seventh guy in the rotation, and then potentially somebody who stretches the floor a bit, which the Heat are going to need. I'm curious to see how he comes off.
I wonder if that's more of as the season progresses. I'm not sure initially how much he'll be part of what the Heat do nightly, but then again, if he has a strong training camp and he's clearly had a very good summer, the Heat value him where they took him in the first round. They're very high on him. They thought he was one of the better players in the draft. Dookie, I turn to you now. When you look at this, what's the storyline? Are we already discussed Jimmy? Clay brings up Tyler. What's the storyline that you think is something to follow in training camp?
I'm interested in Point Justice, and I'm interested in the development of Justice Winslow, just because I feel like he's had like fits and starts. He's had injuries that set him back, but he had the playoffs 2 years ago where you're like, whoa, if this is who Justice Winslow is, this guy's really, really good. So I'm interested to see his development, but I pair that with Goran Dragic and what they're going to do with Goran Dragic, what kind of impact he's going to make early, and does his impact turn into something that down the road could turn into, who knows, Bradley Beal, something else. So I think if you are a fan of the Miami Heat, if you're interested in the Miami Heat reaching their maximum potential, you want good early season Goran Dragic, because the more value he has and the better he is, and you also want to see Point Justice develop. So those two things happening simultaneously, how do they happen? How does Spoelstra make that work? And is that even possible? Because if it is, you're really, really going to have something. So I think Justice's game, you know, everybody talked about when he first came out that he couldn't shoot. But you look last year, he was shooting much better from three.
Well, even for the year before, he has developed that shot. Maybe.
So his combination of size, strength, speed, ball handling,
defensive ability,
being left-handed, becoming more judicious with his shot, extending his range.
Being left-handed, you kind of threw that one in there. I mean,
well, you only said that.
That doesn't help you at all.
Well, I think
you beat me to
it. Doesn't help my personal. Listen, I'm partial to all left-handers out of Duke University, but I think it adds a little something funky to his game. His game's just a little funky, that's all. And I think
I will say this. Look,
unlike Ben Simmons, who plays left-handed but is actually righty. That's the benefit of...
Early in his career, Justice looked like a righty shooter, lefty, and he's developed, obviously, to his credit with hard work. I think the Justice storyline is probably the most pertinent one in training camp. I do agree with you, but since you kind of broke it down already, I'll go away from it for a moment. But I do think that battle with Goran and what they do with Goran and how they use Justice is very important. And I think it is the storyline. But the storyline for me that I'm going to go with is Deion. Because Deion is a player that, again, you guys know, and in conversations we've had on the pod, on air, off air, that I like Deion a lot. I think Deion is the kind of guy I want to have on your team, that you want him, that guy who's not afraid to take the shot. You want the guy with that irrational confidence. You want the guy with the ability one-on-one to make a play to the basket and get to the basket and scream, and one. But whatever, that's beside the point. I think Deion is kind of that X factor secret weapon. Can he be more than just the chucker that gives you 13 points a game? Can he be closer to that guy we saw when healthy a couple years ago that was around that 18 point a game range and hit the 3-point shot with confidence, would drive and get fouled or kick out? That Deion, there's no reason he couldn't be that given his age, still in his right in the prime of his career, and given that he looks to be in great shape as he enters camp, something that Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra both called him out for last year, and Deion himself admitted he wasn't in the right shape. Now, his story was, and I agree with it, is that the ankle wasn't right. It always felt, something felt off, didn't allow him to get back in that physical shape. But that's no longer an excuse. His ankle is fine. He is far removed from surgery. He is healthy. He is in shape. And it is now on Deion. The excuses are done. They were fair excuses, but they're done. It is on Deion to be the player the Heat re-signed for all that money. And I think if he can be that, it to me, Clay, and you and I have talked about this a little bit, you mentioned to me that there's some national people that think the Heat are potentially a top four seed. I think Deion, you know what you're going to get in Jimmy as long as he's healthy. And we'll figure out what happens with the point guards, but both those guys are very talented and can play to their game. But to me, Deion being closer to the Deion of 2 years ago is how the Heat are a top four seed.
I think that's a big part of it. And you mentioned a lot of the offensive stuff. I want to see him get back to doing what he was doing defensively a couple of years ago. And look, the other thing that plays into this, he's what, 27, I believe?
And right in his prime.
And he's got 2 years left. before he hits another contract. And so, hey, man, this may be the last time that he has a chance to get another big-time deal. So it has to start now. And I think there's going to be the motivation there. We've already seen it, and good for him. And I do think the injury played a big role. So, yeah, all of that. Now, I do think Deion is the type of guy that he may need volume in order to get going. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that he's going to get that on this team, because there's just so many. I think you're running into a similar situation where you've got a lot of guys who are going to need to get shots in order to get going.
Okay, who is your primary player? Is obviously Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler.
I can't say the ball goes through Jimmy, because Jimmy's not necessarily that kind of guy that every possession the ball has to go through him. But Jimmy's got to touch the ball, right?
Right. Goran Dragic.
Okay.
Bam is one that I don't know.
Goran how, though? Is the point guard, or is he's playing some sort of two guard?
I think it's situational. And I think if he's out there, look, I'm curious to see how they play this with Goran and Justice.
To me, Goran is a scorer.
I agree.
I don't think he necessarily needs to be the point guard. He can play a kind of a two-ish type, off-ball type role.
Well, I found it interesting that Pat Riley addressed that at the news conference. He was asked about it, and he said that, they fined Justice Winslow $50,000, mm-hmm, and gave the cash to Goran when he made the comment Justice did about wanting to play
point guard. Yeah.
What I don't know is why do they have a problem with that? And so here are the theories. Number one, because they want Goran to be the point guard, and they want him to be happy. Number two, because they want Justice to be the point guard, and they don't want other teams planning for him to be the point guard quite as much, and then they'll start to unveil it a bit more in game one. Number three, they're trying to keep Goran's trade value high, mm-hmm, and they feel like he's still a legitimate point guard in this league. So I don't know which one of those things it is, but there's a reason why he addressed that. So yeah, I think, and that goes back to Dookie, what you were saying, there is a fascinating side to this where the log jam that Riley and Spo talked about before, mm-hmm, is getting shorter. Like it's not quite as jammed, but you still have guys who need to sort out roles on this team. It's going to be a little easier because you don't have quite as many guys, but with Deion coming back, we think healthy, JJ coming back, we think healthy, there is going to be kind of that feeling out process.
I do think, Clay, there was a bit of addition by subtraction to your point about the log jam, in the sense that Tyler Johnson would not have fit on this team.
Hassan
did not fit the culture, and I think we can all now see maybe stunted a little bit the development of Bam, because we haven't gotten to see fully what Bam can do.
Well, I think that was by design. I don't think they wanted to rush Bam with the role. I think they now think he's ready, which is why they felt okay moving on from Hassan.
And then Josh Richardson, to me, I feel like they overvalued him. I feel like especially as an alpha, as an end-of-game guy, as a closer.
Well, that was by default.
But I felt like they kept trying to fit, you know, the round peg into a square hole. How many games was he going to step out of bounds with 3 seconds left?
I agree with that.
Now that he's gone, now when the end-of-game happens.
Plus, you have Jimmy Butler.
You have Jimmy Butler. You have Deion Waiters. You have true alpha personalities, guys who really want the ball, not a guy who, like you said, you have to pretend like he's the guy when he's not. He's just not. I'm not saying Josh Richardson is a bad player, which is my version of no disrespect, as clearly I'm disrespecting him, but I just felt like they kept trying to make that happen.
It was unfair,
and now they don't have to.
It was unfair to Josh, because let's face it, now you have,
because he's not good at it.
Well, it's not that, it's that he had never done it and there was no fallback option. You had a last year Dwayne, and then you had Josh, you know, and Dwayne, for all the things he did that were great last year, he's obviously wasn't the player that he had been in the past as far as finishing games. They tried to get Josh to be that guy. Look, they got great value for Josh in getting Jimmy. Jimmy has that experience. Deion has that confidence. But it was a little unfair to Josh last year. They really wanted to push him. It was the only option they really had, you know, to kind of give Josh that role. And I do think Josh is a very good player. This is not a no disrespect. I disagree with you. I think he's a very good player. I think he's going to flourish in Philly. And
yeah, when he's the fourth best player on the team, he's good.
That's the thing. I think on this team, he was probably the best player last year at times. He really was. But when you ask him to close games and it's all for him, that's a lot to ask.
Now, if Ben Simmons would play with his proper hand.
Well, and look, Jay Rich doesn't create his own shot. He can't.
That's not his strength.
That's not his strength. But yes, going to Philly, it's going to be a perfect fit.
Yeah, it will. So as we continue to talk now about camp, you know, you look at the decisions and the things that Eric Spoelstra has to do. again, I didn't want to make this a preview of the season, but I want to end it with talking about this topic, and that's that I don't think it's crazy. I don't think it's homerish. I don't think it's too kind of a blind optimism to say that the Heat should be a much improved basketball team, despite the fact that you lose Josh and that Dwayne retired. I think, will be an improved basketball team, because I think for the first time in a couple of years, Dookie mentioned logjam. I don't think you have a logjam. I don't think you have those questions. Point guard, maybe a little, but I wouldn't call it a logjam. I would just call it a decision as a coach to make, as a staff.
And that's fair.
I think you have shooters. I think you feel comfortable that maybe you have enough shooting. You have guys that can drive. You guys have that finish. You have a true alpha and leader that can finish right in his prime in Jimmy. And you have ascending young players. This has all the makings. And with Eric Spoelstra as a head coach who just got his extension, this has all the makings of a very good basketball team.
Yep.
Especially
I
in a kind of watered down Eastern Conference where you lose Kawhi out of the conference and things are shifting and changing. I don't think it's crazy to think that he could be a 3 or 4 seed.
No, I agree with that. And Zach Lowe and I think it was Kevin O'Connor who both said that. And again, two guys who are very bright and follow this league very closely. And yeah, I think that's not asking too much. Now, it obviously depends on how quickly it comes together. But also, I'll say this. I know culture is a buzzword, and sometimes maybe it's overvalued a bit.
Not in that building.
I don't think it is in that building. And I think you're going to have guys on the same page for the first time. Not for the first time in a long time, but like everybody all in, not just saying culture, not just going out there and testing your body fat and running through sprints, but guys who are going to be competing to get to the gym first. And there's just going to be something about that that's been lacking.
This feels like an Eric Spoelstra team. This feels like the kind of team that last year, Dookie, the questions were, how is he going to deal with Hassan? How is he going to finesse the minutes? How is he going to work Deion back? Can Jay Rich, to your point earlier, be a guy? How is he going to deal with Dwayne in his last year? There were a lot of how do you do this? How do you manage and massage that? I think this roster, the way it's set up, is kind of to Spo's strengths into the way he likes to work. I think he'll get the most out of them defensively. I think he won't have questions about as far as a closer. And I think he has guys that he can turn to in different spots in the game that you don't have those lulls with the second unit. You get some really – you look at this roster. There's really good potential, some fascinating second units, depending on what you do with Gorin and Justice at the point. I think Spo to this roster and is going to look at this roster and say, this is more my liking. Obviously, I'd rather have the big three, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, this is more my liking as to what I can work with compared to what I've had the last few years.
I think that's fair. I do think that questions are obviously going to arise, and I think we haven't seen them yet because it's a little bit of a honeymoon period. They just signed Jimmy Butler. You know, he traveled the world. He had his summer. He came back. He had a glorious news conference. Now they're coming back. They're going to have media day on Monday. Tuesday, they start camp. This idea that everybody's going to be fighting to come to the gym, I believe. I think right now that's where their headspace is at. Mm-hmm. Let's see who is really, really bought in at a Jimmy Butler level when they've lost 3 games in a row and they're on the road and it's the fourth night in 5 games and they're in that type of adversity. Because right now, before they've lost a game together, you know, they're all bought in, they're all together, they all have the same work ethic. Mm-hmm. Let's see what happens when they take a punch. Because I know Jimmy Butler, when they take a punch, is going to be the first guy in the gym because he has a 10-year history of doing it. Other guys, younger guys, seem like they're on the right path, but let's see. Let's see, because Clay, you always talk about how Jimmy Butler used to get mad at his Minnesota teammates because nobody would work as hard as him. We think, we believe that all of these kids on the Heat are going to be at his level of intensity. Do we know it?
Well, no, we don't know anything, and I think that's completely fair. I do think I want to point out one difference here between the situations previously in Minnesota and Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And again, this is not saying that I don't know anything about the work ethic of those guys. We don't cover them. We're not in their building, whatever it is. But I do think that you've got a situation where in Minnesota, you had two guys there who were already viewed as the faces of the franchise in Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, although Wiggins had fallen off a bit. In Philadelphia, you had same thing, where you had Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, and then they went out and got Tobias Harris. And so you already had guys who were there. and Butler, who was going to have to come in and kind of fit in. And I can tell you one thing from being at his news conference on Friday, that guy does not fit in anywhere. Mm-hmm. He is the show, and he has to be the show, and other people will have to follow him. And so he's coming here, and so I think the combination of, number one, that Heat culture having been established, and number two, let's be honest, guys, there is nobody on that roster that is all-star level right now. Other than Jimmy Butler.
Oh, other than Jimmy Butler.
So there is nobody that can sit there and look at him sideways when he says, well, you guys don't work as hard as I do.
Well, except Deion, because Deion's a Hall of Famer in his eyes.
Yeah, in his eyes, right?
It's a different one.
So those guys aren't going to have a choice, and I think it's going to go over a little better there because of those two things.
There will be, to end it and to Dookie's point, there will be uncomfortable moments. There will be. But
sure.
Spo loves uncomfortable moments. There will be uncomfortable moments. Jimmy, hopefully, can be a driving force. Hopefully, health is an issue. Training camp begins for the Miami Heat. They get back to work this week. And we will be talking plenty of Heat because God knows the Dolphins. Oof. We didn't say any Dolphin. We didn't say the word Dolphin till the end of the pod. That's the way I like to do this.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, Miami Sports Pod. More Heat talk as the season continues.